Because we discussed until now, again, the general, the three psukim, and therefore the three prohibitions that relate to basar v'chalav, that there's an iser of bishul, there's an iser of achila, and there is an iser of hana'a. And the broadest dirabanan, and only if they were cooked together does it become basar v'chalav, which is going to be asr min ha-Torah be'achila u'behana'a. However, midrabanan is much more expansive than that, and we saw that midrabanan, you can't eat them together, even if they weren't cooked together. The definition of eating them together, we saw, is very, very broad, and really is the basis for the waiting after meat before eating anything. Milchiks, we saw the lashon of the Gemara about that he wouldn't eat in Mar Ukva. I think it was Mar Ukva, right? I got this wrong last week also. Wouldn't eat until the next Uda. And we saw there was a 2 to 3 way Machlokas Rishonim how to understand that, whether it's once the Suda was over or until the time of the next Uda. But we saw that even waiting in between was, again, a Machlokas between Rashi and Rambam, what remains. But since there is some sort of meat that remained in one's mouth, either the taste from the fattiness or we're concerned there are actual pieces, eating any milchiks together with that while that during that time frame, which again we'll call 6 hours during this time of hamtana, is considered to be achilas basar b'chalav biyachad, which is asr midrabanan. Again, a very, very broad isr dirabanan. So now we're going to go in the opposite direction. It's on page 69 in the sefer over here. So this says the Gemara in Maseches Chulin. Again, it is the first source over here. Maseches Chulin, Daf Kufei Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, "Achal basar. If a person eats meat, aser lachol gvina. Then he's not allowed to eat cheese. Gvina mutar lachol basar. But if one eats cheese, then one is allowed to eat meat afterwards. Why?" Why should that be true? So the simplest understanding is what we said. There were two reasons, right? Rashi and the Rambam, why it is after meat you can't eat the cheese. One, that it's good pieces that are going to be stuck in your teeth, and one is that the fattiness of after you swallow it is going to the flavor is going to linger. So the simplest understanding would be that reality, that metzias, isn't true when it comes to cheese. That if the cheese isn't going to be stuck between your teeth, or the taste of the cheese is not going to linger for as long a period of time, so then why should you not be able to eat one after another? Now, one after another maybe needs to be defined as a different meal, but we'll have to see all of that. But again, presumably, as long as I don't have it in my mouth anymore, then the concern shouldn't be there anymore. And that is more or less what the Gemara fleshes out in the second source, which is actually, it's a Gemara that comes before the other Gemara. The Gemara on Kuv Dalet Amud Beis in the second source. Tana Igra Chamua de Rebbe Abba. Igra, who was the father-in-law of Rebbe Abba, explained, Ofu Gvina Nechalin Be'apikorin. And you got to pay attention to your chickens and your meats. Right? Chicken and cheese can be eaten Be'apikorin. What does be'apikoren mean? So apikoren comes from the shoresh of hefker, that you don't have to be so careful, right? Hu tani lav hu amar la. He explained, below netilas yadayim or below kinuach hapeh. You are allowed to eat, again, cheese after chicken, without washing your hands and without wiping your mouth out. Now, is that a chiddush or not? The Gemara is going to explain. So Rav Yitzchak Breid of Masharshia, Ikulot Bei Rav Ashi, Rav Yitzchak Breid of Masharshia was visiting Rav Ashi. Aisule Gvina, Achal. They brought him cheese and he ate it. Aisule Bisra, Achal. They brought him meat and he ate it. Velo Masha Yadei. And he did not clean his hands in between. Amri Lai, they were very disturbed. I don't understand. Vatana Igra Chamud Rav Yabba. Didn't Igra teach that Of Ugvina Nechol and Ba'ach B'Korin? Chicken is allowed to be eaten after cheese. Ofu gvina in, basar gvina lo. It's only chicken, but not meat. And you had meat after the cheese. So Amar Lahu, so he explained, Hani Mili Bilalya, that's only at night. Aval Biyamama HaChazina, but during the day, I can see. What does it mean, I can see? I can see my hands. Right, I could see if there's anything which is dirty on my hands. So it's it wasn't that I think that you could eat basar after gvina without cleaning your hands. I just think you only have to clean your hands if there's a reason to think that they are dirty. But if I look at my hands and my hands are clean, then I don't have any concern. The Gemara continues. The Gemara continues on the second side. Ella beishamai omrim. Meshamram mekaneach v'hu adin lemediach. Missing pages?
No, it's folded over.
Oh, okay, fine. Get my money back. El beishamay omrim mekaneach v'hu adin lemediach. El beisil omrim mediach v'hu adin lemekaneach. So beishamay says you have to wipe your mouth out. The same is true of rinsing. And Beis Hillel says that one rinses, and the same is true of wiping. What are they talking about? So mar marchado v'lo pligi, that each one said one of them, and they do not argue. Anything can be used for this kinuach, this wiping, except for flour, dates, and vegetables. So what is the conclusion of the Gemara over here? It's like he summarizes it here pretty well. Right, it seems the conclusion from the Gemara is that one must wash one's hands when eating meat, but again, that's meat from an animal, if it's at night, because then you can't see. And you have to rinse and wipe one's mouth if it's any other time. And this is going to be the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, and the last line has to do with what is good, what can I use to wipe out my mouth. So again, so the Shulchan Aruch paskens, then we'll try to put it together. The Shulchan Aruch paskens, yeah.
In the story in the Gemara, he didn't wash his hands. It doesn't say anything about him rinsing.
Good, good. So that is that is part of the question of how to understand the end of the Gemara over here. Is one of them going to be sufficient, or do you need to have both of them?
And it doesn't make a difference it doesn't make a difference what kind of cheese you have either.
Not yet. In a few pages from now, it will matter.
Right?
Yeah. No, very good. There may be different categories. It may be different categories of cheese. So again, the conclusion of the Gemara may be slightly different than what Rav Yitzchak and what Igra were saying. But it seems that the conclusion of the Gemara was that Beis Shammai Beis Hillel have two things that you need to do. But let's see how the Shulchan Aruch brings it down. Achal gvina, if you eat cheese. Mutar lechol acharav basar miyad. You can eat meat immediately. Okay. Ubilvad she'ayin yadav shelo yehei shum davar me'agvina de'gav. You have to make sure your hands are clean. Yimayu belayla she'ayinu yachol ayinu semeite. But if you can't see, because there's no light, doesn't have to, day and night doesn't matter as much as the ability to see, right? Lights in a room at night are clearly going to be sufficient as well. Then tzarech l'rachsim, you have to wash them. B'tzarech l'kaneach piv u'lahadicho. But you also have to wipe out your mouth. V'akinuach u'sheyilos pas v'ykaneach bo piv yofem. And the kinuach can be, and again, this might be part of why it's hard to know exactly what happened in the story. Right? If you eat something in between, that might satisfy this requirement as well. Meaning it doesn't have to necessarily be a ceremony. Right? We'll talk in a second about brushing teeth. Brushing teeth may be a possibility of doing it, but if one is doing the regular eating, that could suffice for the cleaning of the mouth. So if you chew the bread and use it to wipe out your mouth, except for these three things, because they are nidzok b'dechani chayim v'emikan chayafa. Right, there are certain, you've tried chewing flour, I don't know what's going to happen, but you'll end up like a bunch of clumps of flour in your mouth. It's not going to go down. It's not going to accomplish what you want it to accomplish. And then afterwards you should wash out your mouth with water or wine, but again, those are lav dafka water or wine. You can wash out your mouth with a liquid. That's only if it is meat. Aval imbalech labasar ovach argvino ein sarach lo kinuach v'lo netila. But if you're eating chicken, and again, we haven't had so many of these distinctions. For the most part, we've been machmer consistently, right? When it came to chicken, I think somebody asked last week, the chicken doesn't get stuck in your mouth the same way that meat does. We're still machmer to wait after chicken. Chicken doesn't have the fattiness. Maybe duck or some other types of poultry do, but we're still machmer. Here we are, a maker that you do not need wiping or washing of one hands. So again, seems like there is no requirement to wait after milchix before having fleishix. If you have meat, so you need to do something to make sure that your hands and your mouth are clean. That is it. Yes?
Okay, so we said last time, Basar Chai, right, deer meat.
Chaya, yeah?
Basar Chai is only... It's a, Basar B'cholav, Basar Chaya is only... Chaya is only...
Dirabanan.
Dirabanan. So why is it not treated like oaf over here?
It's a good question. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch is saying it because that's what the story, that's what Igra said. Why did Igra say it? I'm not sure. Not sure.
We had said that the reason why chicken would be less strict is because it doesn't have either, it doesn't get stuck in your teeth,
right.
Like either after it disrupts your tussles, or the taste doesn't stay in your mouth as long.
Right.
So then what does that have to do with the washing of the hands? Either if I have chicken on my hands, I shouldn't be eating a piece of cheese with it, or...
Yeah, that just sounds like practical advice. Meaning, if you're moving so quickly from... what do you mean? I'm sorry.
It doesn't say that.
Just say your point again. I think I understand what you're saying.
We said that cheese is not eating cheese is not a problem because it doesn't get stuck in your teeth or it doesn't leave the same flavor in your mouth.
Meaning, why are we so makel even on the hands?
If that's something, the hands have nothing to do with either of the reasons. Meaning, it's either,
right? No, they don't. They don't. They don't.
I have to clean my hands for meat, not for chicken.
Why do I have to? Meaning, I. Well, again, the question of why do I have to clean your hands at all? Right. So that seems to be a concern of there being some sort of mamashos, right? Some sort of actual meat, fat, something. Which is going to, or some sort of cheese, which is going to get mixed in. We never spoken about that beforehand. Why do we not speak about that in the opposite direction? Presumably, by the time, whatever time passes from after your meat to your cheese, your hands have been cleaned by then. So now, in the reverse, it sounds like we're being more machmir for this because it's a short period of time, and within that, we are being more machmir on meat, probably because it's meat. Now, but again, I think what you're getting at is the same thing that Moshe is saying, which is that why here are we making distinctions and saying, okay, it's only Dirabanan, and it's one step without the other. I'm not sure why here we're differentiating and saying that the chicken is going to be, you know, more kal, and we're not going to say it by Chayor. We didn't say it beforehand. I don't have a good explanation, other than the fact that was a story. That was, again, that's where the Shulchan Aruch for sure got it from. Where Igra got it from, I'm not as sure. We had to look into it. I'm not sure.
Do you think if you knew?
I mean, the Torah says, "Shikarum midrabanan lo mechmiru," because the whole thing is drabanan. But again, you can say that on other ones as well.
Yes. Do you think if you knew you had mamashes chicken on your hand? No,
for sure you'd have to clean them off if you know. I think the question is if you don't.
Maybe that's the answer. Because we're not choshesh that you might have chicken on your hand. Like, by meat, we're choshesh, you have to wash your hands no matter what, even if you don't see it. But by chicken, we're not. Like, if you, that's why I asked. If you see chicken on your hand, would you say you have to wash it?
Isn't it the reverse, whether I have cheese on my hand?
Right, the cheese you're eating first.
The cheese is on your hand, but it doesn't, chicken.
The cheese you're having first here.
But it doesn't
not
say,
the meat.
It doesn't say anywhere.
All right.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say anywhere, Dafke, if you ate cheese first, that you have to wash your hands for chicken. It only says basar. It does not say oh.
Right. That's what's troubling everybody. Yeah, that in Achanami. That's exactly what Shulchan Aruch says. Is that even though you're getting, which again, you can't make the chiluk between the what your hands are going to have unless You're eating it with your hand. No, even still, it's going to get more into the meat, come off onto it. I don't know that we would say
so
that.
If I have a mushroom,
I'm not sure.
Can you flip my question then? Since I
was. Do anything you want.
If I have cheese on my hand,
yeah.
Would you say that I'm still have to be? I have to wash it off.
Yes.
Even though the Shulchan Aruch says you don't have to wash your hands if you got.
The Shulchan Aruch, it means that you don't have to wash them off, I think, if you don't know. I think that's what the Shulchan Aruch means.
And for meat, you do have to wash it off, even if you don't know.
For what?
For meat, you still have to wash it off, even if you don't know.
At night.
And if you can't see and you don't know. If you, right. If that well, that's if you can, that's if you don't know. Ah. Okay, so Yata Dishmaya. So I just found it. I can't go over it right now. This is my chart that I have in my Shulchan Aruch for all the possibilities of cheese after meat, or gvina achar ov, gvina v'chagach basa, ov v'chagach gvina, basa v'chagach gvina, difference between day and night and how long you have to wait. Okay, so we've got to go through my...
I got a Xerox.
I have to go back and review it. The chart is, at least 15 years old.
Well,
the logo hasn't changed. My understanding of my shorthand may have changed, though. Okay, but that is just quickly for the side of the Shulchan Aruch. Anybody says anything differently, but all the points everybody's making are fair. I wish it was more obvious. One second. No. I don't see anything on the page here. Okay, I'll look into it. It's a fair point. Okay? Good. So that is the conclusion of the Shulchan Aruch. So again, the way it seems right now, and we'll move on to page 71, but the way that it seems right now is that if I know that my mouth is clean, and I know that my hands are clean, and then I can, as soon as I finish eating my pizza, I can have my hamburger, right? That seems, as long as I know everything is clean. Comes along the Beis Yosef on page 71, and he quotes from the Zohar. V'yesh machmirin al atzno shalecho basar achar gvina b'su'uda achas. They can't have it in one meal. Can't have meat together with cheese in one meal. V'yesh akosu b'sefer ha-Zohar paras mishpatim. Ashkechon d'choman d'ochel hay michlo kechada. Anybody who eats these foods together as one, o b'shaita chada, in 1 hour, o b'sudasa chada, or in 1 meal, arba'in yomen ischazia gadya mekalsa beklufe legabe inun del elya, b'siyata mesava meskarvin bahadei, v'garam asr dinin ba'alma dinin delo kadishin. Okay, I don't know exactly what happens, but something bad, right? An image of a roasted kid is seen in the shell of the person for 40 days, and some impure angels will approach him. Okay, doesn't sound like something that you want to happen to you.
You have to get Jerry to explain.
Yeah, possibly. Oh, so what did he say? What did the Zohar said? Again, the Zohar says 1 time, 1 hour, and 1 seuda.
Yeah.
And 1 seuda. Ukvar kosav Mordechai, the Mordechai writes, Shema harama yanovik shalolichol basar behema v'chayachar gvina, that he would not eat meat of an animal after cheese. Now, the Maharam does not seem to be a chumrah based on the Zohar, unless he's explaining the rational approach to the Zohar. I mean, why is it that you're going to be careful not to eat them so close together? So the Maharam says, well, it happened once that I was taking a bite of my hamburger and there was like a little piece of cheese that was still stuck in my mouth. And if we know that was a concern when it comes to meat, and that was a concern, both according to Rashi and according to the Rambam, it was a concern. The question was, that was the basis of the 6 hours, but if the meat was actually there within the 6 hours, everybody agreed that it was a concern. So if the cheese is there, it's going to be problematic. And therefore, he said he was gozer on himself. Isn't it against the Gemara? V'einze kecholak al tam, but it's not as if he's going against the Gemara. V'lo kemosef shua goreya, and that's not like adding on, which then takes out. V'avaydeh shu zechon v'chol ro'a sefer ha-zohar. He says, clearly he didn't see the Zohar. I'm not sure how he knows, but He knows. But because of what happened, he was machmir. So apparently the Zohar includes, I didn't look at the Zohar insight other than what it has here in the Beis Yosef, but no matter whether it is chicken or if it is meat, they should not be eating, not eating both together. Oh. So are we concerned? Are we concerned with this Zohar, or not? So says the Ramah number 7. Ramah Yordeh Peitas Beis V'yesh Machvina Fil B'Basar Achar Gvina V'Chein Ogin Shekol Shagvina Kasha Ein Ochlin Achareha Afilu Basar Of Kmo B'Gvina Achar Basar V'yesh Mikilin V'Ein Limchos Rak Sheyasu Kinoch V'Adocha V'Netilas Yadayim Miyut Tov L'Hachmer. Now, we'll understand what he says in one second. The Rambam mentions the Zohar, but he throws in what we call a knetch, right? He starts throwing this thing about hard cheese. So we're going to get to the hard cheese in more depth in a moment, but he does seem to be, somewhat concerned. He says that there is a...
Correct,
because it's not brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. So again, I don't fully understand all of the Klolei HaPsak that Rabbi Avadya... I take that back. I understand a very small fraction of the Klolei HaPsak that Rabbi Avadya uses with his broad understanding of Shulchan Aruch. But he assumes that since it was not brought down by the Beis Yosef in the Shulchan Aruch, therefore we do not pasken that way Mi'ikar Hadin. We don't pasken that way Mi'ikar Hadin. Everybody thinks that Sephardim certainly don't have to. My hunch is that it seems to be that there are people that had this minhag to wait half an hour after cheese before eating, after Bilchis Reading Fleishiks. I don't believe there's what we call a classic source that has such a concept. My hunch is that it's a combination of two things. It's probably an alternative to the kinuach and the hadacha. Again, the same way we said, after 6 hours, it kind of happens on its own. After half an hour, we kind of assume that everything disappears on its own. And it could be combined with the Zohar. The Zohar says an hour. It doesn't always mean exactly an hour. A half an hour is most of an hour. Similar to, like, 6 hours, right? Where we also said, not always exactly like 6 hours. My hunch is that it comes from somewhere like that. If somebody has such a minhag, I think they should keep it. I don't think it fits in with the Maharam. It fits in with, again, trying to make sure that nothing is going to happen. Su'udechada, I think they most try to be, I think we do the chatzkila try to be machmir for that. That comes up most frequently on Shavuos. Right? If you go through the way the Ramah describes the reason for having milchiks, which has to do with the shtei alechem, and nothing to do with any of the other stories about oversleeping or things like that, the only way to accomplish that is actually by having it in one meal. That you have the milchik first, then you have to replace the bread, which we'll talk about at a later time, about things that are on the table with one type of food should not be on the table with the other one. And there you end up doing it in one meal. So I think even those that are machmir for the Zohar in general, it seems to be that on Shavuos, for whatever reason, they will not be as nizar. So again, half lemaisa. We still have to get to the hard cheese that the Ramah is about to talk about. But after cheese, as long as one knows that his mouth is clean and his hands are clean and it's rinsed out, then there really is no reason to wait. If somebody has a specific practice, how long to wait? So they certainly should. They certainly should keep to that. Oh. And if you know that there's cheese there, then obviously based on what the Maharam said, right? You shouldn't. You should make sure that your teeth are clean and get rid of it. Okay. But the Ramah just added something about the hard cheese. So what did the Ramah say? Kol shagvina kasha Ein ochlen achara afilo basar of. If the cheese is hard, you don't even eat chicken afterwards. Kemo bigvina achar basar. So again, I'll call it almost two chumras. Right, one is that it's by chicken, and obviously it's by meat also. If you're going to say it's by chicken, it's certainly by meat. And the amount of time that you wait is like gvina achar basar, right? Is like meat which comes before cheese, which would be what we'll call the full we'll call the 6 hours. V'yesh mekilin, and there are those that are mekil v'ein limchos. You shouldn't protest against them. No hafkanot. Rak sheyasa kinuach v'adach yas yadayim. You got to make sure to clean up very well. Miutov lahachmir. The Rama is machmir. The Rama is machmir. Oh. So what is this? What is this all about? Why should hard cheese, and I'll figure out what hard cheese is, why should it be any different? So the Taz suggests what I think we probably would logically assume is the reason to treat hard cheese like meat. Says the Taz in number 9. According to the Rambam, when it comes to cheese after meat, is because we're afraid of pieces between your mouth. We're not concerned about the taste. Then that reason would never apply to cheese. Right? There's no reason, presumably, to assume that hard cheese gets stuck in your teeth more than softer cheese. Right? It's all not getting stuck. There maybe we need an exeris hakasav. Fine, let's give that for a second. But according to Shitas Rashi, that it has to do with the sharp, that the taste remains. There's a certain fatty residue. Pshita yesh lesser gam begvina mutlas. Shetam shal nimshach bepez man rav im kein yesh the hachmer. So basically, in terms of the structure, says the Taz, that we were machmir for both reasons, right? For both reasons, when it came to meat and eating cheese afterwards. One of those two reasons, namely that the fattiness and the pungent, I don't know, thingy, residue taste of the cheese is going to remain after certain types of cheese. So therefore, we should have to wait the same way for meat after cheese as cheese after meat. As cheese after meat. How long? Says the Taz number 10. Perush lahamtin sheishos. If the Rama is comparing it to cheese after meat, so we should plug in the same equation.
So people would have different minhagim.
Yeah, correct. It would be parallel. If you waited an hour for the meat, you would wait an hour for this. There's no reason to be more machmir by this. Again, this is definitely a chumrah. I mean, a chumrah that the Rama says we should do. But again, we just in terms of the overall scope of understanding the hierarchy, this is definitely a chumrah, but one that we should keep in mind. What is this gvina kasha? Vishir gvina kasha shezach ramahinu she'avru alea vav chadashim o shehi metulas kolkach. Says the Taz that hard cheese means it's been aged for a minimum of 6 months. Or it's very holy. It has a lot of holes. Very holy. Oh. Interestingly, the Taz says that maybe, I'm sorry, the Shach says in, the Shach suggests in number 11, that maybe you don't have to wait more than an hour. Maybe you don't have to wait more than an hour. That does not seem to be the minog. The minog is if you're going to be machmir, that it's going to be for the... It's going to be for the full amount of time. Oh. Now, there are several questions that emerge on a practical basis over here. What? Oh. Well, so we now, well, yes, it's the definition of hard cheese, but we just defined it somewhat, right? We had two criterion that were given. One is that it's been aged for 6 months, and one is that it is very has a lot of holes. The issue is as follows: The issue is as follows. When do we look at in determining the age of the cheese? Right? There's a certain aging that the cheese has after, well, when it's going through the megabing process. So everything's being mixed together, the cheesecloths, and they hang it up, and whatever else they do to it, and the enzymes. And then there's the fact that it sometimes will sit in the refrigerator in the supermarket for a few months. Yeah, a few months.
Well, I think it's labeled, aged X number of days. That doesn't include how long it's on the shelf for.
Correct. But do we, if we're saying that 6 months is the time, do we go by what the package says it did in the, we'll call it the factory? Or do we look up since this cheese was born? Cheese was made.
Then you factor how long it's been in your refrigerator, too.
What?
Then you would have to figure out how long it's been in your refrigerator, too. 100%.
100%.
And you don't know those.
So you might not know those things, but you might know certain things. Meaning, if you know that the cheese was aged for 4 months, and it's been sitting in your refrigerator and probably yourself for a while, you might know those things. But the question is going to be A, do we even count it? And B, is that if we do count it, what happens if we don't know?
But I think also in the time of the Gemara, the shelf life of cheese is different than the shelf life as it is today.
100%. That's why we uniquely have the question. So again, they probably didn't have the cheese sitting out for as long. So does that mean that the aging process is, I guess what we'll call it, continuing?
Well, isn't there something that's part of the process of aging? Meaning sitting on a shelf, I don't know, it's probably not included in the process. I imagine there's something more to aging cheese than it's just sitting.
Because it's packaged and whatever. It's not cooking anymore. It's not
right.
Aging.
I have no idea. I have no idea, but
it doesn't age on the fridge, and I don't think it ages on the supermarket shelf either. When they say something is aged, it's in the
that's what they say. But the question is
what do they know?
When I buy an 18-year-old bottle of scotch, it's been aged for 18 years, no matter how long I keep it in my bar for.
Okay, but if you buy a bottle of wine that is a few years old, and it's a good bottle of wine, that wine will continue to age in the bottle. So there are some things that do, and there are some things that don't. What?
I agree with you, but a bottle of wine is not a piece of cheese. The cheese is going to age and get better.
Listen, the hakdama over here is that I can't stand any of these cheeses. There's nothing more disgusting than going through like one of these gourmet cheese shops with a schmecks. Ugh. I can't deal with it. But for those that would want this pungent taste in their mouth. So again, those are the main questions around this. So interestingly, there are two interesting points here, both in one in 13 and one in 14. Then I'll try to add in a few extra things. But if you look at the in the Shevet Alevi in number 13, the bold part, it says Mikomakom Gamani Darki Lahachmir Bozet. He says that in general he is stringent when it comes to this cheese. Well, he is talking about what they call in Israel the yellow cheese, right? Mitzuhevet, whatever they mitzuva, fine, tzuva, that too, good. So whatever that cheese is, it's probably something. Again, American cheese, I assume we all know, isn't really cheese, right? It's not people eat it. American cheese is processed, right? It is not cheese in the in the regular sense of the word, and there are these other cheeses in Israel that are you can't call them American cheese because it's not in America, but they're similar. They're processed in a certain way. So he says that he's generally machmir. Everything is sold in the supermarket, different than it was. And many of them start out less than 6 months. You need a full calendar. And it's impossible. So he's more machmir because we don't know. Rav Weitman suggests on the bottom page, he's the rabbi of the Tnuva company. So he writes like this. Again, I think it's worth seeing it inside. Right, the normal aging time of the yellow cheeses. 80% mitatzruchat agvinos atzuvos Yerushalayim Tiran Emek Achuz. These are most of the company's gush chalav. Hainu bein chorosh hashem. It's a month or two. Of Nira Shehain Ainan Shavuz Gus Kashas. They are not considered to be hard cheese. Hein betom criterionim hamofiim b'achronim, according to the criteria of the achronim. Vehein betom criterionim hakubalim kayom, and according to ours as well. Why? Because even though they can last longer on the shelves of the refrigerator, when they are refrigerated, by the time you get it, it's going to be more than 6 months. I think this is what you guys were kind of getting at, which is that presumably there's a difference between when it's sitting out, which I think I would sit in when it's aging, versus the refrigerator is designed to slow down the process. Because if it goes for too long, it's probably going to spoil. I mean, it always smells spoiled, but it's going to spoil more. So the process, he says, slows down, and therefore he says he thinks that it's a suffix, and you don't need to be machmir. And again, I think that's a fundamental point that he's making, which is that if we, the whole thing is a chumrah, the whole thing is a chumrah of a derabanan. So I don't know how crazy one has to make themselves in terms of a case of a suffix. Like what Rav Vosner says is a bit surprising in how, when he doesn't know he's going to be machmir, when there seems to be multiple levels of suffix and derabananness. So again, when one doesn't know, does not seem to need to be there. Does not seem to be a need to be machmir.
Rabbi, it all started with one person taking a chumrah on himself.
No. This isn't the Maharam. No. Let's make sure that's clear. No, the Maharam was machmir in general. In general, when it came to cheese, because not to have it right away immediately afterwards, he was machmir. Again, similar to the Zohar, to always have a pause in between because of what happened to him once. The Ramah is quoting a Shita, I believe, quoted elsewhere from the Mordechai and others, of it's a different concern. Like what the Taz is saying, that has to do much more with being similar to the same characteristics that we are being machmir for the meat. Why shouldn't we be machmir for the cheese? But again, he continues, but we're going to run out of time. I just want to do a few more things before we run out of time. If you know for sure that they are aged cheeses, you absolutely must wait. Oh. So they have a little bit of discussion here about American cheese, and we assume that American cheese is not considered to be. Gvina kasha. It's not considered to be gvina kasha. If you look at number 16, Rabbi Avram Gordimer, a friend of mine, who is the OUG dairy person, the expert in dairy, right? He writes, the Shach explains that hard cheese is referenced by the Ramah means cheese which has been aged approximately 6 months. Post can note that after eating pungent, strong-tasting cheeses, one should simply wait before eating meat, regardless of the cheese's age. Meaning, right? If it's, well, they gave two criterion. It was the length of time and this metulas. Metulas seems to be code word for being a very strong taste. If there's a cheese that has a very pungent taste, even if it wasn't 6 months, then one should still wait. You have to, again, assess based on the particular cheese. It's the position of the Obi's poskim that one need only wait between eating aged cheese and meat if the cheese is a variety that is intentionally aged in production, such as Parmesan. And mento, I don't know what that means, a type of cheese, I guess. One need not wait after consuming non-aged cheese that is then incidentally aged on refrigerator itself to exhibit the same texture and taste as it should exhibit in its non-aged state. Oh. There is a very, very important kula, though, I love the English editors, which they quote in number four over here. And this is a very, very common shiloh. There is a shita of the Yad Yehuda who suggests that if the hard cheese is melted, then you do not need to wait. The question:
Swiss cheese and lasagna.
Oh, so there's a machlokas as to what the Yad Yehuda means. Almost all poskim agree that if the aged cheese is an ingredient in a larger dish, but it doesn't stand out on its own. but you sprinkle some, you know, Parmesan cheese into eggplant Parmesan, a lasagna, whatever it might be, then you do not need to wait. What's the svara? So it seems the svara is, well, neither reason applies. If the reason is because it was stuck between your teeth, that never applied. Right? If the only concern was the taste, if the taste isn't nikar on its own, then the pungentness isn't there, then there's no reason to be machmir.
Swiss cheese on a cracker, that's different than Swiss cheese
in the Swiss cheese melted on a cracker. Swiss cheese sliced onto a cracker would for sure require me. Right. If it's just melted, then that is a bit more of a bit more of a machlokas.
A grilled cheese sandwich with Swiss cheese
would be right. According to many more poskim, one would have to wait for that. What would the svar not be? You would have to assume that there's something about that the pungentness, whatever they're considering, had something to do with the texture.
Okay, what did you end up saying? Melted is okay.
Melted in a dish, you do not have to wait for it. If you put a slice of one of these strong cheeses on a piece of bread and just toast it like that, it's not as simple. Not as simple.
But if you put tomato on it, then
I don't know if you go that far. The suffix is this again. Here, if anyone wants to take a look, is a list. The OU list of cheeses. Anyway, I made a few copies of it. Feel free to pass around.
Yeah, I don't want to see it.
I don't want to eat any of these things. So I won't eat non-melted cheese in general. Everybody's entitled to their mishigas in life. I just can't bring myself to do it. The suffix that I have is, what about these little bit of grated Parmesan on top of a salad? It makes sense to say that is different, but I haven't found anybody that no, if it's melted.
But Parmesan doesn't melt.
What does that mean, doesn't melt? If you stick Parmesan...
It doesn't really melt like regular cheese.
It doesn't? I don't know. Well, if it doesn't melt, then the Yad Yehuda wouldn't apply.
It
doesn't mean it doesn't melt just because of that. I don't know. Again, when you have just that little bit, maybe there's a svar to say that you're just that it's so little as part of the dish. But I haven't found anybody to fully agree with me on that yet. So I'm not sure that there's room to be makil on the grated Parmesan, which is.
You mean waiting 6 hours after that? You want me to go home with that sock tonight, Rabbi?
I said I'm not sure, but I understand. Yeah. It's logical to me that it should not be the case, that one should not have to. I reached out to a different cheese kashrus person tonight. I can look on my phone if he responded. He did not respond prior to us. He responded now. Are there posts going to make it on sprinkles or RJs? Don't think so. Okay, so we will look. We will continue to look further. He was not helpful on that. He was not helpful on that. But
let me ask
somebody. There is. I don't know. It's mistabber to me that there should be a difference, but I haven't found somebody to say, again, you're not eating it the same way. It's only a little bit. It's mixed in. It seems like an extension of the... It's not the same thing as the Yad Yehuda. Again, the Yad Yehuda is clearly talking about melted... But we'll call it a tzarech iyun for now, in terms of waiting after that.
And he distinguishes between Swiss American and Swiss Switzerland. Regular Swiss cheese, he says, is not aged.
It's not. Okay, he knows.
Yes.
He knows. So okay, fine. So okay, that's the story with the hard cheese. Again, we'll try to move a little bit more next time in terms of the other things. Go ahead.